Aleichem, everybody. We left off in the Mishnah and Mem on the base of the Chayrus. He pointed out, based on the Mishnayos, that even though the Kalal maybe should have been Sveikah Daraisa Lechumra, whenever there's a suffix, if you mochif to give Pinyin Aben, one could have argued the point and said you should give the money be suffix, okay? Suffix Brachas Lahakyal. The Rambam says, whenever there's a suffix, if one is obligated to observe a mitzvah, the Rambam says, Safik brachas l'alka, you don't say the bracha. But if it's a mitzvah, deraisa, Safik deraisa l'chumre, you have to do the mitzvah. See, here the Mishnah says, whenever there's any Safik regarding Pinyin Aben, we treat it like a Safik mamayna l'kula. Avi Aben is muchzak on the money, it's not muchif to give the money to the Kohen. What if he already gave the money to the Kohen, and there's a Safik? It's a suffix whether the Kohen was entitled or not, but the father gave it to the Kohen. Let's say the Mishnah gives an example. A couple had twin boys, and somehow or another, we weren't following, we don't know which baby was born first. So whichever baby was born first, you have to give Pinyin Aben. But then one of the two baby boys died before the Yom Shlosh. So the Chiyuv Pinyin Aben only sets in on the Yom Lamed Aleph, on the 31st day. By the time it comes to the 31st day, there's a suffix if the father's Mechiyuv Pinyin Aben, so he's not Mechiyuv to give. So the Mishnah has it been, what if the father gave the five Shloim to the Kohen? If you give him Shulchan Aruch to say, if you give the five Shloim to the Kohen, in the middle of the 30 days, he can't say a bracha, because you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah night, you're only Yotzei. Later on, when it comes to the Yom Lamed Aleph and the Kohen still has the money, we're going to see that Gemara. We're going to try to cover that Gemara tonight. The Kohen still has the money and the Yom Lamed Aleph, then the father's Yotzei the Mitzvah. If the father gave the money in advance before the Yom Lamed Aleph, he assumed the baby will survive. He assumed the Kohen will live, the baby will live, everything will be fine. He's going to miss out on the bracha. Then before it comes the Yom Lamed Aleph, one of the twins dies. He doesn't, and they don't know which was the Bechor and which was the Pashut. So now it's a suffix whether he was Mechiv in the first place and Pinyin Aben. But now the Kohen is Mechsav. So the Kohen is not Mechiv to return the money. So then the Mishnah has a case. What if there are two couples and each couple had a baby boy, first baby? Each couple is expecting the first baby. And each one had a Bechor, a Zohar. The firstborn was a boy, but you don't know which baby belongs to this couple, which baby belongs to that couple. And both of the fathers did this silly thing. Both of the fathers gave the money, Pinyin Aben money, to the Kohen before the Yom Lamed Aleph. You do before Yom Lamed Aleph, says Shulchan Aruch, you can't say a bracha, because you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah then. You're only Yotzei when it comes Shabbos, when it comes to Yom Lamed Aleph. That's where they discuss, what do you do if the 31st day falls out on Shabbos? So we usually give cash. So cash is mukta. You don't have to give cash. You can give Shabbat Kesef also. You can give a set of svarim. You can give a becher. You can give something. As long as it has the value of the 96 grams of pure silver. That's the five slime. Is the value of 96 grams of pure silver. And the meaning is that you give the value of 100 grams of pure silver. So the same Shulchan Aruch, if you'll give the money to the... If you give the money to the Kohen before Shabbos, then you can't say a bracha. I, when it comes Shabbos and the Kohen still has the money, you can't say the bracha then either, because you only recite the bracha when you do a Maisa HaMitzvah. When you have a Kiyum HaMitzvah, without a Maisa HaMitzvah, you don't say a bracha. If I move into a house and there are mezuzahs from the previous tenant and the kosher mezuzahs, so the Magen Avraham writes, you don't say a bracha, Shir Kedishanu B'mitzvah, so it's one of the Kvaya mezuzah. You're not being kaver the mezuzah today, but you do say a bracha shekadoshanu b'mitzvah. So I would say, "Manu ladur b'abayis sheyesh b'mezuzah." So most of the poskim disagree with that Magen Avraham. If you look, Magen Avraham is an Aruch Chaim. So if you look in Yerideya, at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah, the Pesachah Tshuva there quotes the Chidor. Chidor was from the 1700s. The Chidor disagrees, and that's what's assumed like that. That. If you have a Kiyum HaMitzvah without doing a Maisa HaMitzvah, one does not recite the bracha. The same thing, there's a Magen Avraham, the Shitosa writes, that Bein HaShemashes is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So Friday evening after Shkia, we assume right away after Shkia is Bein HaShemashes. For the first 25, 35 minutes or so, is Bein HaShemashes, Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So Safik Daraisa Luchumi, not allowed to do any malachas. What about a Nisa Darabana? So we say that's not a Sveika Darabana. It's a Sveika Daraisa, whether it's Shabbos or not, which has ramifications on the level of the rice, the level of the rabbah. But the sofik is the sofik the rice. Is it Shabbos or not? Because it's a sofik yom, sofik laila. So you're not allowed to do the rabbah and zidi. You can't say sveik the rabbah and lukula. But nonetheless, the Gemara has the machlokes hatanoim. We pass them like Rebbe. Kol dovashem shem shvus la gozro la bein hashmashes. It's not the regular din of sveik the rabbah and lukula. As we explained, it's a sveik the rice. Is it Shabbos or not? With ramifications for both Dinim Deraisa and Dinim Deraborim. It's a Sveika Deraisa Luchumra, but they built in a special Kula. Whenever it's only a Nisa Derabanan, Taisus points out it has to be a Gzeira Kala. There are Gzeiras and there are Malachas, and Malachas are Macham and Gzeiras. Gzeiras are at different levels. It's a Gzeira Kala and a Gzeira Hamura. So if it's a Gzeira Kala Derabanan, and it's a Macham Mitzah, Macham Tzarakotl, so then we would be makel. Bein HaShemashes said you would be allowed to do it. So take, for example, the woman forgot the ben shlicht on Erev Shabbos, and it's Bein HaShemashes. Would you permit Amira Lenachri? So today, even if the woman forgot the ben shlicht, but she left on the chandelier, the lights are on anyway. So she forgot to light the candles, and she didn't say the brach. Nunu. But there's no great zorakotl. They're not going to be sitting in the dark. But in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have the electric lights around all day long. Days of the Shulchan Aruch, the woman forgot the bench licht before Shkia on Friday evening, so they're going to be sitting in the dark. So that's a tzarech gadol. You don't want to sit in the dark and eat your meal. You can't see anything. You won't enjoy the meal. The Gemara says that blind people don't enjoy the food as much as people who have sight. Because part of the pleasure of eating the food is looking at the food. The mouth starts to water when you look at the food. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we would permit Amira Lenachri Bein HaShemashes to light the neiros for the woman. So the Magen Avraham says, when the Nachri lights the neiros, the Balabasta can recite the Bracha, Shekedishana b'mitzoyis v'tzimana l'halik ner shal Shabbos. So the Mishkan HaSyankin has the Chubi, he says, no, this is the Magen Avraham, the Shitosa, and the Magen Avraham says, if you move into a house that has a mezuzah, so you're not nailing up the mezuzah, still, you're living in a house that has a mezuzah, so that itself is a mitzvah. So you say, bracha, shekedishana, b'mitzvah, shemitzvahnu, l'adu b'abai, sheyesh by mezuzah. So the same over here, Magen Avraham says, the nochri does the ma'isa hadlokeh. The Jewish nochri can't say the bracha, shekedishana, b'mitzvah, shemitzvahnu. He doesn't have a kedusha, Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham says, l'shitosa, since the balabasta is yotzei through that, she's the one who's instigating, she's getting the nochri, the light the neiros in order to make Kvod Shabbos, Enik Shabbos, they'll be able to see when they eat the dinner, so the Balabasta can say the bracha. And the Mishkan HaSyankin says, we don't pass on like that, because you only recite the bracha on Hadlokas on neiros if you're doing the Hadlokas. So the same over here. This is from the Marik, I think. A lot of Dinim Shulchan Aruch was set up by the Marik and by the Trumas Hadeshim. And early Achrenim, so they say, if the Yom Lamed Aleph, the baby was born on a Thursday, so the Pinyat Ben is going to be 2 days later. If the baby is born on Sunday, Pinyat Ben is going to be 2 days later. It's going to be on Tuesday. The baby is born on Thursday, Pinyat Ben is going to be on Shabbos. So they say, you're not allowed to do Pinyat Ben on Shabbos. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. One of the Rabbanim in Europe, a family, had a baby boy, a poor, and they had to do Pinyat Ben. It turned out that it was Shabbos. The baby was born on a Thursday. So 4 weeks later, and 2 days later, was Yom Lamed Aleph was on a Shabbos. So they did Pinyan HaBen on Shabbos. So the Rav in their community, Paskin, they weren't Yotzei, because you're not allowed to do Pinyan HaBen on Shabbos, and they have to repeat the Pinyan HaBen on Sunday with a bracha. So one of the Gedolim wrote a tshuva that's utterly ridiculous. Even if you're not allowed to do Pinyan HaBen on Shabbos, it's an Isa Derabbanan. It's a Gzeira Shem Yichtov. But it's not a din that you're not Yotzei. But even you are Yotzei. And it's questionable, why are you not allowed to do Pinyan HaBen on Shabbos? You're not allowed, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be Mafish Shumas and Maisas on Shabbos and Yontif. But you are permitted to be Mafrish Challah on Yontif. And because if you needed the dough on Yontif, on Shabbos, you never become a Kliyev in Shumas and Maisas. You never do Miruach on Shabbos, but you never become a Kliyev in Challah either, because you don't do Lisha on Shabbos. But on Yontif, that you're allowed to do Lisha, Milisha V'Elach, you're permitted to do Melech HaSechal Nefesh. So if the Balabasta, or so whoever, if someone mixed flour with water on Yontif, and they need a dough, and it becomes a B'chuy Mechala, on Yontif, you can be Mafish the Chala, you can give it to the Kohen. You're not allowed to give Matnas Kohuna to the Kohen, unless the Chiyav HaFrosh and the Chiyav Nesina was Chala on Yontif. Or was Chala on Shabbat, let's say on Yontif, you shech the Behema. When you shech the Behema, Kshera, you become B'chuy to give Zvala Chayayim HaKeva to the Kohen. So since you're permitted to shech on Yontif, if you shech to the Behema, Kshera on Yontif, you're allowed to give the Zvalach Hayam HaKev on Yontif. So if the Chiyah Pinyin HaBem was Chal on Yontif or Chal on Shabbos, you should be permitted to give the Pinyin HaBem to the Kohen. So don't give him cash. Cash is going to be more to give Shavu Kesef. There isn't even a Din L'chatchila. The Pinyin HaBem has to dafke be cash. It's permissible L'chatchila to do Pinyin HaBem with Shavu Kesef. Pinyin Ma'asusheni needs dafke Kesef. There's a price in B'chairis. Later, Daphne and Aleph, Bryce Mechara says there are three mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled with kesef. The Shabbat kesef is not acceptable. So the most famous one is the Din D'oraisa Pinyin Ma'asusheni. When you go to Eretz Yisrael or even in America, if you buy peiros that are tevel, some of the peiros that they export are tevel. So if you buy peiros that are tevel, you mafrish Ma'asusheni. So you have to be poyded at Ma'asusheni on kesef. You can't use Shavu Kesef. So in America, let's say, you're Mafrish Ma'aseh Sheni in America, so the person who's doing the Hafrosha is in America, and the Paris are in America, and the coin is in America, everything is in America. So let's say if you have an Israeli coin in America, that's called Shavu Kesef, that's not Kesef. Kesef means whatever the government of that country where you are declares as legal tender. If the government declares it as cash, and you have to accept it, you're obligated to accept it as payment or any legal debts. So I owe you money. So if I'm going to give you Russian coins or Israeli coins, you can say you don't accept it. I have to give you American coins. If you live in America, you have to give American coins. So for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, if you and the money are both in America, so it has to be, it's two gears in the Gemara, the end of Bava Kamma. Which country does it depend on? Does it depend on the country where the person is who's doing the Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni? Does it depend on the country where the money is located? But whatever it is, if you and the money are here in America, then you need American coins. British coins are Shavu Kesef in America. It's not recognized as legal tender. So that's the most famous of the three dinim. Everybody remembers that from Perek HaZohar, in Bava Metzia, the first daf, the first sugya, the Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni has the dafka have kesef sheyesh olav tzura, can use Shavu Kesef. The other two dinim are not that well known. The other din, which may be a din d'oraisa, may not, is machzis hashekel. Bizman shebeis hamikdash hayikayim, all of the men in the Klal Yisrael were obligated to give machzis hashekel to the Beis Hamikdash for the purpose of funding the karbonis tzibah, to meet him in the safim, had to be paid for. And machzah shekel money. You cannot just have one family donate $5 million and hang up a sign in the Beis HaMikdash. All the karbonis tzibah this year were taken care of by the Goldwicht family, or by the Goldstone family, whatever. That's not acceptable. For many years, the tzdukim were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash. They permitted that. And when the Chachamim kicked them out of the Beis, succeeded in kicking them out of the Beis HaMikdash, so then they made a yomtiv, itoikem tmidah. The Korban Tamid was established to be observed properly. Because if a private family pays for the Korban Tamid, the minimum Safim, the Tzibur is not Yotzi. That's the tradition of the Torah Shabbat. You only Yotzi the minimum Safim if it's paid for by Machzah Shekel money. So the Gemara has a bright sand, Daphne Nalef and Chorus, that for the purpose of fulfilling Machzah Shekel, you have to Dafke give cash. You can't pay by check and you can't give Shavu Kesef, you have to Dafke give Kesef. And that's a question whether that's the Raisa de Rabbana. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his Chuvis refers to the fact that he wrote a Chibra on Yerushalmi when he ran away from the communists, when he ran away from Russia, he lived under the communists for quite a while. When he ran away, somehow he lost his chibur, and for the rest of his life, he was bemoaning the fact that that was his life's work. His chibur and Yerushalmi to him was more valuable than all of the tshuvas that he wrote. So he writes in his chibur and Yerushalmi, he showed that this is also a din d'oraisa. The third din, that you need davke kesem, not shavu kesem, that's only a din d'rabbanan. When everybody's oyle regal on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, ye buy oyle smiya. So that has to be paid for by cash. You're not yotzei. So Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi. There's a reason why the Rabbanan introduced that din. That's not a din d'oraisa. It's not miyakad v'yevet. It's a din l'hatchila. You shouldn't set aside shavu kesem to buy the oil of Sri and the Shamach Hagigah. You should set aside kesem. But that's for sure only a din d'rabbanan. Yeah. So by mistake, a family did pay your rabban on Shabbos. Did he ever buy your, even if they used money, even if they violated the mukta, handling the money on Shabbos is mukta, Shabbos is Yom Tov. But we don't fully understand why you're not allowed to do pay your rabban on Shabbos. It's one of 24 matnas kuna that you shouldn't be allowed to give on Shabbos. If the Yom Lamed Aleph was on Friday or Thursday, then you're not allowed to give it on Shabbos. But if the Yom Lamed Aleph is on Shabbos, the chiyuv to give the matnas kuna sets in on Shabbos on Yom Tov, then it should have been permissible to give it on Shabbos on Yom Tov. So we don't fully understand why, but that's what it says in the Trumas Hadesh. You don't do pinyan aben on Shabbos. And if you gave the money before Shabbos, you gave it on Friday, let's say you gave cash, so then you can't say the bracha on Friday because you're not yotzei. You can't say the bracha on Shabbos, but on Shabbos you're not doing the ma'isa mitzvah. So getting back over here, the both fathers did the ashtus. Two couples, each one had the first baby, and the first baby was a boy. So the both fathers are mechayev to do pidyon haben on the Yom Lamed Aleph. So let's say the Yom Lamed Aleph fell out on a Shabbos, so they had this chachma, that's a silly chachma. They gave the money to the kohen before Shabbos began. So they lose out on the bracha. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Shulchan Aruch. They can't say the bracha on Erev Shabbos because they're not yotzei the mitzvah then. Can't say the bracha on Shabbos because they're not doing a ma'isa mitzvah. So there's no bracha. And then they gave the money to the same kohen, let's say, before Shabbos began. And then one of the two babies dies. But in the hospital, when the two babies were born to the two couples, somehow the nurse mixed them up. The nurse doesn't remember which baby belongs to which couple. So now, when it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, you don't know which father is not mechuyev, which father is mechuyev pinyan ben. If the baby dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph, you're not mechuyev pinyan ben. So if both of the fathers did the same chochmah, they both gave the money to the kohen in advance, and then one of the two babies dies. So neither of them knows which of the two fathers is entitled to ask for his money back. So the kohen is muchzug now. So the kohen says, "I'm motzi mechaver olav harai. I'm muchzug. You gave me the money before the Yom Lamed Aleph. I'm not mechayev to give it back because it's a suffix. If neither of them had given the money yet before Shabbos, then neither would be mechayev to give because I'm motzi mechaver olav harai. Maybe the other one, maybe my baby died. Maybe the other baby is alive." But they both gave the money before Shabbos, so neither can ask for the money back. So the Mishnah says that if they both gave it to the same kohen, then they can get back five slot. Each gave five slot, so then they can get it back. So the Gemara asks why, and the bottom of the Chesam base, which one of the two can demand b'toras vada, I want the five slot back. We don't know whose baby died. So the Gemara says, I'm asking on Amar Shmuel, that's the top line on Mem Tesam and Aleph, the boy of Harsha. This week he spoke a lot about Harsha. The Sugya of Harsha is a very short Sugya, it's 10 lines or so. And Baba Kama Daf Ayin Amar Aleph here, Tosis refers to Tosis on our Omid, Mem Tesam and Aleph, the Mamasho, Avod B'Loy Kafrei. Tosis tells you, look at me, Amar Baba Kama Daf Ayin Amar Aleph, where they discussed it at length. Herachti, the Meruba Herachti. So the Gemara there, right before that Daf Ayin, the last two Dafim before Daf Samaches Samates, the Mishnah has a din Hagoynev Men Haganav. a ganav stole a behema from the balabos. Then a ganav sheni stole the behema from the ganav rishon. So the Mishnah says the ganav who stole the behema from the original owner, when he stole the behema was fully owned by the original owner. It was shaloya b'shusay. Mishaloy behema belonged to its owner, and in b'shusa he had access to it. The owner had access to it. Once the ganav stole it, and the ganav sheni steals it from the ganav rishon, so then it's still shaloy of the original owner, but it's no longer b'shusay. It was stolen. It's no longer b'shusay. So that's what we learn off in the pasuk. We're going to be based on ish, but only based on ganav. We darshan on the pasuk. You only pay kefil if the behema or the automobile or whatever it is that he stole was stolen. We're going to be based on ish if it was shaloy b'shusay the nignav. But if it's ganav sheni stealing from the ganav rishon, so that the ganav sheni doesn't pay kefil to the ganav rishon. Doesn't double push it. He doesn't own the automobile. It's stolen by him. The Mishnah is discussing maybe the God of Shani should also pay kefil to the original Nignav. So the Mishnah says, no, I got him and I got him his pasar, pater from kefil, because it's still shaloy of the original owner of the original Nignav, but it's not Bishusa. And if it's ain't a Bishusa, so it's incomplete bilus. So how far do you go with this incomplete bilus? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. The Gemara there in Baba Kama Daf Samach Tes quotes Machlek Zatanoim from Maseches Maisa Sheni, and then it's a Machlek is unusual. It's Machlek Zabiyachan of Eish Lakish, which Tana to Paskin like. Usually the Gemara avoids that. Usually when you have a Machlek Samarim, they're not arguing which Tana to Paskin like. The Gemara will often say, really, is a Machlek Samarim? Lemekit Tanoim. Should I say it's a Machlek Zatanoim? Usually they say it's not. The Amora wouldn't have formulated this statement like that. He would have said, I pass like Reb Shimon, the other said, I pass like Reb Yudah, I pass like Reb Meir. But if the Amorim express themselves, what the din is, sounds like he's saying a new din that was never discussed by the Tanoim. So here the Amora says, not so here, this was a machlekes HaTanoim and the Mishnayis in Maseches Maaseh Sheni, whether what you learned from that pasuk is good about Yisrael, or good about HaGanav. Aganav and Aganav, the Ganav Sheni, doesn't pay kefil to the Nignav, to the original owner, because true, the Chefer Tzagreva is still Shalom, but it's not Peshusa, so he's not the full Bailim. So that's the Machlek, the Satanoim, and the Machlek, Zabiyachim Ishlokovich, which time did the Paskin like? Does this extend to Shadim? Is it only a local din in kefil, and that's all? And we Paskin like Rabbi Yechina. The Gemara says in Yibamas, Adaf Lamedvav, that in the many disputes that are recorded in the Gemara and the Bavli between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, over the generations, Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of Amorim. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, and Shlokish was a Talmud of his. So over the generations after their lifetime, the Amorim voted, whom do they think we should pass on like? The Ruba of the cases, it turned out that they voted like Rabbi Yochanan. The majority held like Rabbi Yochanan. So there are only three cases where there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish, and we pass on like Mishlokish. So here we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. That if something is shali, the ain't a bishusi, namely was stolen, and I don't have access to it. So if something is shali, the ain't a bishusi, so not only is it a lack, Hagoyne ben Haganav doesn't pay kefil, not only can you not collect kefil from that pasuk to be established, that if something is shali v'ein b'shusa, I can't be maknish, magdashit, I can't be mafkirit, I can't be maknet to someone else, and if it's maaseh sheni that's stolen, I can't be paid in the maaseh sheni. It need to be, to be considered a full bialim, has to be shaloi b'shusa. So that's what the Gemara talks about. What is harshoa? So the Gemara, the context of the Gemara there in Meruba, in Baba Kama Dafayim and Aleph is, it's a Hemshech from Bakeim, Samaches, Samaches, and the two Dafim before. Somebody stole my automobile. And then he drove off. This is a Maisa Shahaya. It wasn't my automobile. One of the boys used to drive me to the Shir on Tuesday night, and then he drove me home. So one night his car was not out of commission, so he borrowed the father's car. So the father's car was a Lexus, And there was a whole chevra, this Amaisa Shoya, years ago, 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. And there was a chevra of Garovim who was stealing Lexus cars, shipping them off to South Africa, and selling it there for five times what it sells for in America. They're making a fortune of money. So they stole the car. So the car was Shaloi of the boy's father who drove me home. But it was Ani Beshusev because the car was stolen. And then they sold the car, they transported the car to South Africa. So what if I want to bring the Ganav to a dinter? Let's say the Ganav is a Yid, happens the whole Chevra. There's a whole bunch of Ganav, they were all Nochrim. What if the Ganav would be a Yid and want to bring him to a dinter, but I have no time to go travel to South Africa to retrieve my car? So I guess someone else is going Bangkok because he's going to South Africa for business. This boy used to go to South Africa for business. His father used to buy up used clothing and resell it in South Africa. So the father and the son would sometimes drive himself off and they would go to South Africa for business. So what if I'll appoint someone who's going Bangkok coat to South Africa for business? I'll say, you are my shaliach, you bring the fellow to a din Torah and you retrieve my car. So when he comes to the Ganav's home, but the one who bought it from the Ganav, so the Ganav will say, are you the Bailam of the car? He says, no, I'm a shliach. So he has the right, the Ganav has the right to say, La Badvarm Didiat. You don't have the right to pester me if it's not your ASIC. The car doesn't belong to you. So in order that the Ganav shouldn't be a labor, or let's say someone borrowed $1,000 from me, and he ran away to South Africa, and I keep on calling him on the phone, I keep on sending letters, he ignores everything. He doesn't pick up the phone whenever I call. He doesn't answer the letters. I have someone who's going to South Africa. So I say, I appoint you as a shliach. Try to get the money from the loiva who never paid me back. So when he rings on the fellow's doorbell and he says, the shechter sent him to collect the $1,000, he says, it's not your money. I didn't borrow the money from you. You have no right to pester me. So what can I do? I have to spend $1,000 to collect it. I have to spend $1,000 to go to South Africa in order to collect my $1,000. What can I do if someone's going anyway to South Africa? What can I do to have him collect it for me? So Gemara says you have to make a harsha. What do you mean you make a harsha? You makna the chayiv to the shaliach. If you just make him a shaliach, the loiva can say, La badram tidiyat, you have the right to pester me. So you have to be makna the chayiv. Or let's say if he stole an automobile from me, you have to be makna the automobile. So the Gemara says you can't make a harsha on a stolen automobile, because we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Ani Beshusei, and something is Shalav Ani Beshusei, not a full Bailam. So you're not a full Bailam, not only that you don't collect Kefala if the Ganav Sheni steals from the Ganav Rishon, because when the Ganav Sheni stole it, already was Ani Beshusei of the Rishon, of the Bailam, of the Nignav. The Nignav cannot be Makna, cannot be Magdush, it cannot be Mafkra, it cannot be Perfitz Maisa Sheni. Cannot be paid. He's not a full Bailamana. So that's why the Gemara says, Enkos from Shah, Enkos from Harshah, I'm a Taltalim. What do you mean? What kind of a Taltalim? So Tyson says, I'm not giving myself a Taltalim that was stolen. You want to send a Morsha to go collect the stolen automobile from the Ganav. So how does the Morsha have the right to pester the Ganav? The Nignav has to be Machna the automobile to the Ganav. Rabbi Yechanan says you can't be Makna because it's Ani Beshusei. You can't be Makna. So then the Gemara says a different version. You can't be true, you can't be Makna Minatayra, but with the Rabbanon, what are you going to do? How else are you going to collect your money? So Tosis explains on the Gemara that next Lashon in the Gemara says, a Taltalim that was stolen, we allow you to make a Hashor. Mid the Rabbanon, we declare, we consider it as if you succeeded in being Makna in the automobile to the Murshe, and he's going and collecting it for himself. That's what we spoke about last week. What do you mean for himself? And then he doesn't have to give me back the automobile. He went there to South Africa for his own business. Then he did me a favor, I was makna the automobile to him, and then he got it, he picked it up, then he's going to keep it. So what did I gain? The Gemara says, no, he has to give it back to me. But if he gives it back to me, it means that he's only a shaliach. He's only a shaliach, so how does he have the right to best the ganef in the first place? So that's what we said over the Ravid and the Kuntra Sahar Shah and the Sefer Tmim Deim. Has all the tshuvas of the Ravid. So the Ramban and the Mohammed and Dafayin and Baba Kama quotes these few lines from the Kuntra Sahar Shah of the Ravid. This institution of Hashoah is an androgynous, and it only works with the Rabban. There's no way that it works with the Rabban. In what way is it androgynous? Vis-a-vis the Ganef, who's located now in South Africa, on the Bailam, on the automobile. Because the Nignav, who's makna the automobile to me. But vis-a-vis the right owner, the rightful owner of the automobile, the Nignav, I'm only considered a shliach. So what do you mean? Vis-a-vis the Nignav, I'm a shliach, and if I have to surrender the automobile to the Nignav, but vis-a-vis the Ganef, I'm a Balaman. How can you be a Ganef and a Balaman at the same time? So that's what the Rishayim said. It's a takana de Rabbana to enable people to collect their money. And you're not going to require of me that I should spend $1,000 in order to retrieve $1,000. So made this takana de Rabbana. So the Gemara says, despite the fact that, strictly speaking, we should have said Allah HaKirev Yechanan, because this is not one of the three cases that they voted Allah HaKirev Lokish. They didn't vote, we're always going to pass on Akrab Yechanan. The Pasha, they didn't vote like that. It's not that the Democrats always vote Democrats, the Republicans always vote Republican. Not that we're always going to vote blindly, we're always going to vote for Rab Yechanan. No. In every case, the Pasha says, the later Amorim, after the days of Yechanan Lokish, they debated who do they think is right. And Ruba the Ruba of the cases, it turned out that the consensus was like Rabbi Yechanan. And on three cases that are listed off there, Yevam is Daflam and Hey, that's one of the three. And then one quotes the other two cases from Perigesh Nachman, that the majority of the consensus was like Rish Lokesh. So originally the psak was, you cannot make a harshah on a stolen item, a metaltalim. If the fellow stole karka for me, then there's a din karka ein and exalus. That's a machloikah satana in the very end, next to the last daf in Bava Kama, in Hagozel Basra. The last two prokem of Bava Kama, one is Hagozel Kama, one is the last one is Hagozel Basra. So in Hagozel Basra, there's a machloikah satana in the Mishnah, next to the last daf in Bava Kama, where the karka and exalus, karka ein and exalus. What do you mean, karka in an exalus? I move over the fence and I stole a couple of acres from your farm, gigantic farms, and I move over the fence. If you do that in Eretz Yisrael, you're over on Lasas and Bolly Achab and Achaloscha Shetincha. You're certainly over on Anissa. So Rashi Ala Torah and the Rambam both say the same. If you stole karka in Eretz Yisrael, in addition to the lava of Lysigzal, or lava Lysignal, depending. If the fellow's aware that I stole the karka from him, then it's loisigzel. And if I did it in a sneaky way, he's not aware. He didn't realize it. I stole it in the middle of the night when no one was watching. Then I violate loisignav. Loisigzel is when I do it. And the nignam knows that I'm stealing from him. I pop him over the head and I steal his wallet. Or I hold the gun at his head and I steal his wallet. That's loisigzel. And loisignav is when he doesn't realize that I'm stealing from him. So if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael, you're only a violation. You're in violation of both Lysigzol as well as Lasasa Gwalyacha. If you steal karka in Chutz Loretz, you only violate Lysigzol or Lysignav, you don't violate Lasasa Gwalyacha, because that law only applies to Menach Loscha Shetincha, only in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? What do you mean? You're right on Lysigzol, but we just said karka in an exalus. No, karka in an exalus, Pashup Shat doesn't mean that. There's a difficult Tosfos in the first dafin. Erika Zer Neshech. Tosis assumes like that. Karka in Exalus, you're not in violation of the lava of Lysigzel if you steal karka. But that's not the way most of the Rishonim don't assume like that. The Pnei Yeshua there has difficulty with that Tosis. Pashtus says karka in Exalus means a different thing. When a Ganef steals an item, he steals an automobile, he steals a bicycle, whatever, he steals money. So he violates the lava Lysigzel. And he gets what we call the Kinyan Zela. On the object. And there are enough communities to deal with the Kenyan Zeilis. If later on there'll be a Shinoi or Yush, so then the Ganef who has the Kenyan Zeilis will acquire full ownership. a fashina will occur, so the ganav will be kind of fashina. What if I steal karka, and the karka undergoes a shina? I stole an eved when he was 10 years old, and I keep the eved for 75 years, and now he's 85 years old. He looks like a different person. So the Mishnah has gozal avodim mehiskinu. I stole a whole bunch of avodim, and they aged over 75 years. They aged; they don't look the same at all. So that's a machlekes satanayim. Are you kind of bishino? Is the ganav kind of bishino? Why? Ganav is only kind of bishino if when he stole the item, he acquired kinyan gzela on the item. So that's a machlekes satanayim, whether karka and gzelas or not. When you steal the karka, does the ganav certainly violates the lavlay sigzol or the signal, whatever it happens to be. But the question is, does he acquire kinyan gzela? So the Tana Rablazer, Blazer Ben Hurkin, his holds, Karka is Nigzelas, the Ganif even gets a kin Nigzela. If the Chayfus Agzela will be Nishtana, he'll be kind of Bishinoi. We don't accept Ruba the Ruba, what Rablazer said. Mar says Rablazer Shamutihu, Rablazer was from the Beishamai, and Ruba the Ruba, we don't accept Beishamai's opinion. It's very few, very rare cases where we pass on like Beishamai. So it's very rare that we got to pass on like Rablazer. He was a super genius, like Beishamai, with bigger geniuses than Beishilo. The geniuses are always a very small group of people, but they were outvoted by the Beishilo, who are not such big geniuses. And we pass on, Ruba the Ruba, we pass on like Beishilo. So the Gemara has a mashal. Let's say, I move over the fence. My next door neighbor has an automobile parked on his farm. I move over the fence. So now the automobile is on my side of the fence. I have a mind to steal the karka and to steal the automobile. So Blazer holds that since I get a kinyan gzela on the karka, because karka is nixelas, so not only do I get a kinyan gzela on the karka, I'm kind of a kinyan agav, a kinyan gzela on the automobile and on the behema as well. So I'm Chai Bionson. I have a kinyan gzela not only on the karka, on the automobile as well, on the bicycle as well, whatever it is, the metalpilot. Because you have the Kenyan Agav. But according to the way we pass on Lalocha, the Karka and the Nizelas, the Ganav does not acquire a Kenyan Zela on the Karka, so then there is no Agav. So just like there's no Kenyan Zela on the Karka, so there's no, and I never made a Kenyan Zela on the automobile or on the bicycle, it was just sitting there. I just moved the fence to the other side. But I never made any Kenyan on the automobile or on a bicycle, so therefore I have no Kenyan Gzela on the automobile. So that's a machlokes by the Karka and Gzela, so Karka and Gzela. So the Gemara says there in the beginning of the Sugya, the final map, those Sugyas are less than 10 lines. So the Gemara starts off in the beginning, since we assume Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, that a Dovashain of Yeshusai is an incomplete bilus and kol ha-tarkulat, not just a local din and kefal. Gunim beis v'lemi beis haganat, that you don't pay kefal. It's a universal din that whatever shalib ain't a bishusi, I'm not a full bilum, I can't be maridushet, I can't be moicharet, I can't be poidim ha-susheni, I can't, so on. So the Gemara says, what then I mean? I can't make a harshoah on it. But that's only ein kosrim Harshoa, I'm the Taltalim that is stolen. If Karka is stolen, Karka is ain't an exelus. So Karka is always Bishusai. Even if a Ganav stole it, it's still, Karka is always Bishusai. The Taltalim, if they're stolen, is only considered Shaloi Ve'in a Bishusai of the Nigna. But if Karka is stolen, my next neighbor moved over the fence and he stole my Karka. So there's no, he has no kin exel on the Karka. So it's considered as if the Karka is still Shalei U'Bishusai. It's only considered, that's Beferish in the Gemara. It's only considered Shaliva Eina Bishusi if it's Metaltalim. So the Ganav acquired a Kinyan Zela on it. So that's called Eina Bishusi of the Nignav. But if it's Karka that the Ganav stole, and Karka Eina Nigzela, if the Ganav doesn't get a Kinyan Zela, then it's still considered Shaloi Bishusi. So you can make a Hashor. You do have the ability to be marked on the Karka, even though it's stolen. You don't really have any access to it. It's only called Beinu Bishusa if you have no access and the Ganav has a Kinyan Gzela on it. Let's say I lost an Aveda. I don't know where it is, but nobody has a Kinyan Gzela on it. So the Ritva repeats a few times in Bav Metzia and his Chidushim, and Aveda is considered Shaloya Bishusa. Just exela is not. That's what it seems to me. On a, if it's stolen and the ganav has a kinyan exela, that's called einam b'shus. So that's how the Gemara begins there. Since the din is like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, that if something should leave einam b'shus, I'm not a full bialim, and I don't have the ability to be makne. So if you have metal from that was stolen here, they stole the fellow's automobile, and they sent it South Africa. So if metaltalim are stolen, you can't make a harshoah on it, because harshoah means you're makne the item to the musha, and you can't be makne because of the bishus. So then the Gemara says, we don't hold like that. They made a takon of the Rabbanim, that even though you can't transfer ownership, you can still make a harshoah. We act as if the whole thing is a takon of the Rabbanim. That vis-a-vis the nignav, the musha is considered the bailam on the chayfetz, but vis-a-vis the real owner, vis-a-vis the ganav, the musha is considered the bailam. That's why the musha, that's why the ganav can say la badram didiyat. But vis-a-vis the nignav, we consider the musha as if he's a shliach. So the whole thing is a takkara derabbanan to begin with. So we pass, and you can't make a harshoah. I'm a metaltalim, even though they were stolen. It's a takana de rabbanan. We act as if the haknah took place. But what if it's metaltalim de kafre? What if it's metaltalim, and the ganif over there screams out loud, "I didn't steal a metaltalim. It doesn't belong to you. You're lying. And I'm going to send this shliach to South Africa. He's going anyway for this. I'm going to send him with all the documents, with evidence to prove that he's going to win the dinter. He will be able to get it. But the ganif who lives in South Africa, he's it's metaltalim de kafre. He denies that it's stolen. He says that it belongs to him. It's not stolen. So then the Gemara says a different reason why you can't make a harshoah. Ain't cause of harshoah, I'm metaltalim de kafre. Why the Gemara says? Because mechzik is shikra. It looks like I'm lying. I say I'm giving over ownership of my automobile in South Africa. What? You own an automobile in South Africa? This guy lives in South Africa. He's a respectable balabos in his community. He has the automobile, and he says that it's not stolen. So when I say, when I write a document, I'm writing a document giving over ownership of the stolen automobile to the Murshid who's going anyway to South Africa for business, he should be able to pick up the automobile. It's Mexican Shikra. So that's the reason why you don't allow Mexican Shikra. You don't allow to write such a shtar. So Tosfos writes there, in Bava Kamma Daf Ayin and Aleph, and Tosfos writes it a little bit here as well. Here the Tosfos, Mem Tes and Aleph, the second Tosfos from the top, Abba B'loi Kafrei Kasvina, Mashanogia Machsha Lichtel Hashafilu Kafrei, even if it's Metaltalim and Kafrei, the fellow who has the automobile or the bicycle, Tachas Yoda, he screams out that it's not stolen. The other fellow, the one who claims that I stole from him, is a liar, and it's not true. So the Gemara said in Bava Kamma, you can't write the harshoah. And the minigolim is that you do write the harshoah. So Rabbi Natam defends the minigolim. He says that the whole reason why you can't write the harshoah, the either time of the like Hasfina, the Nardoi originally said you can't make a shtar harshoah on any metaltalim that's stolen, period, because they ain't a bishusa. And if you can't be makna, the whole idea of Hashem, you makna the item, you makna the automobile to the Mursha. So that we don't pass on like that. We say this is a takana rabban. So then the Gemara touched it up. The Gemara said, no, there's another version of what the Nadoi said. You can't write Hashem, the Talpalan, the Kafre, because Mechstik is Shikra. Oh, that's the reason why. I'm Rabbi Natan, the Hainatan, the ganze reason why you don't allow the Lech Kafir, the Nadoi, Hashem, Mechstik is Shikra, as it says in Baba Kama Dafayan. And the Gemara in Ksuv is that Pehei, there's the Machloikis. And the Gemara says, we don't pass on Mechzik Yishikra. What does the Gemara say there? So there in Bava Kamma, they have it a little longer. U'bimru v'herachti. It's Kedai to discuss it, because many Rabbanim don't know Pshat in the Tosfos. So there's a Gemara there in Ksuv is that Pehei. The Gemara there talks about a Kiyum Hashtar. What's a kiyum hashtar? I come to you with a shtar that's signed by two witnesses that says you owe me $100,000. You look at me, You never saw me before in your life. You don't know who in the world I am. What do you mean you borrowed $100,000 from me? It's not true. You never saw me. You don't tell. You never borrowed the money. And the shtar is mezuyev. He said the shtar is mezuyev. So min ha-Torah, the Gemara says, Eidi maksim al ha-shtar. Gemara quotes Rish Lakish. Eidi maksim al ha-shtar. Na'asek mishin nechkere eidus in the bezin. If there are two signatures on the bottom of the shtar, even though there is a possibility that it's a forgery. But min ha-Torah, I collect $100,000 from you. They believe the shtar. And in the Rabbanon, in the later generations, the Rabbanon instituted a din that I have to make kiyum hashtar. I have to get either the witnesses whose names appeared, I have to get them to testify that that is their handwriting, or I get other people to testify. We know for a fact that that's he has a unique handwriting, and that's the way he always signs his name. So you have to have kiyum hashtar. So the Gemara says, how do you do kiyum hashtar? So you need two kosher witnesses have to come to Bezin, and they look at the signatures. Sometimes you need two witnesses on one signature and two witnesses on the other signature. You're going to need four witnesses. And sometimes they're the same two witnesses recognize his handwriting and the other guy's handwriting. Okay. So the witnesses come to the Bezin. Then the Bezin writes the document, sometimes on the back of the shtar, sometimes on a separate piece of paper. This is to ascertain that we the three undersigned rabbis, constituted a Bezin. We constituted a Bezin of three, and witnesses came, there were kosher leaders, witnesses came and they testified regarding the signatures on the document that says that the Pliny Oshechter $100,000, and we ascertained that the signatures were authentic, and therefore Oshechter is able to collect $100,000. So they make the Kiyum Hashtar. So the Gemara says, if the Kiyum Hashtar, that's called Asharta de Daina, if the Asharta de Daina, the Kiyum Hashtar that the Dayanim signed, was written before the witnesses testified, so it's a Mechzik Yishikro. They write, we the undersigned, three rabbis constituted a Bezin, the voice of Tlosa Kachoda Aveina, and we accepted testimony, and the witnesses testified the Shtar was authentic, that Pliny owes Shechter $100,000. So the Gemara says, if the Kiyum Hashtar was written before the witnesses testified, it's not true yet. So it's Mechzik Yishikro, so it's puzzle. Ashayta the Dina, which is written before it happened, is Mechzik Yishikro and it's puzzle. So that's why now, in the last 30 years, I think, a long time already, they have printed ksubis. When you come to a wedding, you just fill out the names of the people, the names and the date and the city, and everything else is the same. Girls getting married for the first time, there's a certain amount for the ksuba. Girls getting married for the second time, a gush and amana, everything is much less. So now, the last 30, 40 years, they have a shtick. They leave out the word v'kanina mine, or they leave out the kuf. The Kanina, and I said, so it's not readable. And then, how can you write the Kanina? How can you print the Kanina if they didn't make the Kenyan yet? It wasn't made yet. It's Mechzik Yishikro. So they leave out the word. And then, after they make the Kabbalah's Kenyan with the Chassan, Kanina Mine, we made the Kenyan with the Chassan, he obligates himself to this full amount of money, a fortune of money, the Tzuga. So then you have the right to fill in the Kanina. So what happens very often is that they forget to fill in the kanina. The witnesses are supposed to read the ksuba before they sign it. They don't read it. They don't realize that there's a word missing. And then under the chuppah, when somebody reads the ksuba, all of a sudden they realize it, that the word missing, the kanina, was never filled in. Or it says viranina, which doesn't mean anything. And they never put in the long kuf. They never put in the line to change the ration to a kuf, a kanina mina. Why do they leave out the word v'kanina? They leave out the kuf? Because of Mechzik Yishikro. So the whole thing is a joke. Because the Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s, and he used to have a Bezin, and the Shach wrote extensively on Hashem Mishpat. And he says, we do this all the time. We do this all the time when we make a Kiyum Hashtar. We do it all the time when a couple is getting divorced also. While the Sofer is writing the get, the husband authorizes the Sofer to write a get lishma. while the Sofer was writing the Get, one of the Rabbonim, you have a Bezna of three, the practice today is, in the days of the Gemara, when the husband gave his wife a Get, he gave her the Get to break the marriage, to undo the marriage, and then she continues to hold on to the Get as a Shtaraya. This is her proof. When she wants to remarry later, we say, we know that you were married for 50 years. How do I know that you got divorced? You becheskes eishesish. Your children went to the school of my children. We were at each other's weddings, at children's weddings. When did you get divorced? Your husband is still alive. When did you get divorced? So she produces the Get. The Get serves as a shtaraya. When the husband, the moment the husband gave the Get to the wife, it served as a shtarkinyan, to break the marriage, to undo the marriage. But then the wife holds on to the Get, and it serves as a shtaraya. For the last several centuries, the practice is not so. The Masadra Get, after the husband gives the Get to the wife, he takes it back and he keeps it on his file. And that the woman should have a shtaraya to prove that she's allowed to be married. So the Bezin writes what we call in Yiddish a ptur. You write a document, usually written in Hebrew, sometimes in another language, whatever. So usually write in Hebrew. So you say, we, the undersigned, constituted the Bezin, the Moshe Tlosa Kalhora Aveda, and we ascertain that the woman was properly divorced from her husband, and the Get was written Lashma, the Adam signed, and the Get was given, everything was given properly, and the woman is permitted to remarry. So the Shach says, and that's the common practice today, the Rabbanim who are supervising the Get fill out the Ptur before the Get is given to the husband, and they write in the Ptur, the Get was given to the woman, and she's allowed to remarry. It didn't happen yet. The Shach says, what the Gemara says in Mechzik is Shikra is if the Dayanim sign it before it's true. But if they didn't sign it, they can write whatever you want. That's not Mechzik is Shikra. If you signed it, but you didn't give it to the person. If you signed it, you didn't give it yet. So that's not a problem of Mechzik is Shikra. It's only an issue of Mechzik is Shikra. The Dayanim will sign it, but they won't give it to the person yet. So Mikra, then it's good. The Shtar doesn't begin to give a Haggadah Seidus. The left, they give it over to the person to whom it was intended. So Mikra Adina should be Mutter, but the Gemara says, Mechzik is Shikra, so it's not proper. So then the Gemara asks on that. So today there are many Rabbonim, they'll insist, you're not allowed to write the Kanina. You're not allowed to write the Kanina before you make the Kabbalah's Kenyan with the Chosin and the Ksuba. So that's wrong. The Shach writes the Farish that we do it all the time. The Rabbonim who do Gittin do it all the time. They fill out the Ptur. They don't sign the Ptur. They fill out the Ptur before the Get was, the Sofer is writing the Get. The husband didn't give the Get to the wife yet, so the Rabbanu fell out the Ptur, they just don't sign it till after the Get was given to the woman. Then when it's true, then they sign it. So, and then the Gemara asks, how can the Gemara say, this is Ksuba Tatehe Yomerala? That's what the Tosafot quotes. The Gemara says, how can you tell me that if a Kiyum HaShtar was signed before the witnesses testified that they recognized the handwriting, that Kiyum HaShtar is not valid, there's a din of Mechzik and Shikra, how can you say that? The Gemara asks, there is a Machlokes, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim, how does the Shtar Kinyan work? I own a house, I want to give the house to you, b'matana. So Reb Meir is of the opinion, Eri Hasima Karisi. The Eri Hasima who signed on the document, make it into a shtaraya. By my giving you a shtaraya that the house belongs to you, that causes the house belong to you. If I propose to a girl that I want to marry her and she agrees to marry me, I give her a shtar kiddush and I give her a shtaraya that we are married, that causes us to become married. If I'm married to my wife and I want to divorce her, I give her a shtaraya. Shtaraya has that erich hasima. If nobody signs it, it's not a shtaraya. It's only a raya if you have erich hasima. The mayor's opinion is Eri Hasima Karsi. Machalik's mayor and the Chachamim is what's the mechanics of a Shtar Kinyan? How does it work? So mayor's opinion is by my giving my wife a Shtarai that we are divorced, that causes us to become divorced. My giving you a Shtarai that the house belongs to you, that causes the house to belong to you. And Rabbi Loza disagrees, says no, Shtarai is Lachud, and Shtar Kinyan is Lachud. Shtakinyan, you don't have to have any signatures at all. You just give a get to your wife. The get says, I'm hereby divorcing you. So, according to Rav Meir, that the Iker of the Shtakinyan is the Hasimas, everything that it says in the get, the 12 lines before the Hasimas, are only that you should know what the Edom are testifying to. But the Ikar of the Shtar, according to a mayor, Shtakin and Shtarai, all the same thing. The Ikar of the Shtar, the two Hasimas on the bottom. So the mayor's opinion is, only the Hasimas have to be signed with Shema. The Shtar can be, the get can be written Shalom the Shema. Because of Lo Lishma only goes on the Hasim. Doesn't go on the get. But whereas according to Rav Lozer, that you don't need any Hasim. So you can't say any Hasim after sign Lishma. You don't even need any Hasim by Ashtar Kinyan. So it means the 12 lines of the get have to be written Lishma. So the Gemara says, what happens if in the same city there are two couples that have exactly the same name? Husband's name is Eliyahu ben Baruch and the wife's name is Rochel Bas Yehuda. Both husbands, oh, I have the same name. One husband wrote a get to divorce his wife. He says, I, Eliyahu ben Baruch, I'm divorcing my wife, Rochel Bas Yehuda, whatever. And then he changes his mind. He throws it in the garbage. He never got Adam to sign it. He wrote a get to divorce his wife. And then he changes his mind, throws it in the garbage. The other one, the other husband is walking around, picking out of the garbage. He sees a get written for a husband, the same name as me, and the wife has the same name as my wife. He said, that's a good idea. He takes the get out of the garbage. The whole get was written as a get for a different couple. And I want to divorce my wife. I have the same name as the husband. My wife has the same name as the other wife. So then I get two Adam to sign. So Rav Meir says that it's good. Avila matza ba'ashpa. Even if I found the get in the garbage, as long as it wasn't signed yet, then I get two witnesses to sign with the Shema. According to Rav Meir, it's good. So the Gemara says, but it's mamish mechzi kishikra. The get was written for a different couple, and I'm using it for this couple. Isn't that Mexican Shikra? So the Gemara says, Velesa. So that's a machlokes. That's the big place was there in Subas Daf Pei and in Bava Kama Daf Ayinam and all the big places. The two ways how to translate Velesa. So the simple pshat in Velesa is that the first din that we said, if you have a shaita didai, if you have a kiyum ashtar, that was written before the witnesses testified. It was written and signed. We just didn't give it over to the Malva yet. So it didn't begin to give it. I got to say this, it's not true yet. So we didn't give it over. But if you signed it before the witnesses testified that they recognized the handwriting, so the first Amar and the Gemara said that that's Mechzik Shikra and it's possible. So the Gemara says, well, Lisa, it's wrong. We don't pass against Mechzik Shikra. That's the push of Shalomar. But later, we don't pass a message in Shikva Haraya. The Rameyer says, even if the second husband found a get in the garbage that was written for the first couple, he's permitted to use it L'chatchila to divorce his wife, and you don't worry about Mexican Shikva. So Valesa means the first psak was incorrect. So you don't pass a Mexican Shikva. According to the second shot, you translate the word Valesa L'kusha. The kasha is nishken kasha. The only time the Amoraim said that there's an issue, a mechzik shikra, is if it's a shtar maaseh bezin. That's not right. Maaseh bezin should sign a document that's not yet true. True, they didn't give it over to the malva yet. If they give it over to the malva, that's mamish eidah sheker. Well, the shtar doesn't begin to give hagadah b'seidah until you give it to the balashtar, until you give it to the person on whose behalf it was intended. So, but we're not giving it over. The Gemara says, the first Mandama says, if the shtar was signed before the Edom testified, is mechzik shikra and is pasul. I, Rameya, said, the second husband can pick up the get in the garbage, you're not worried about mechzik shikra. No, that's a private thing. When a man divorces his wife, he doesn't need a bezin. We have a takana from the later Amoraim. That's what the Bir Agro explains in Ebenezer. There's a takana from the Lehem Aran. Kol Mishayne Debeti Mekedushan Lo Yehela Isa Kedmoyim. So you need, by a chasana, you need a Masada Kedushan. By get, you need a Masada Haget. But in the days of the early Amoraim, there never was such a thing. You didn't need a Masada Haget. You didn't need a Masada Kedushan. A boy and a girl want to get married. So the chasana says the bracha. Or someone says the bracha. You don't need a rabbi who's Boki Bilchas Kedushan. But once they made that takon mishene deb, they get gedushan lo yehela isik imayim. So then the get has to be done under the supervision of a bezin or a big tam chacham. And the ksuba, that's what somehow the ksuba is also treated like a shtar maaseh bezin. If you look in the Nachal HaShiva, Nachal HaShiva is a sefer from centuries ago. very early, I think from the 1700s, pretty early. So the Nachla Shiva points out in Exuber, the first line has the Zman. In a Tanoim, the last line has the Zman. Why is that? So he says, in a private shtar, this is a minig, not a din. In a private shtar, the minig always was that you write the Zman on the last line. The Tanoim is a private thing. There never was a Takanas Chacham that Tanoim has to be done under the auspices of a Bez. But the Exuber, that's part of the marriage ceremony. In the days of the Amoraim Achrayim, they made a takana Mishenei David Divkid the Kedusha Lo Yehela Esekimayim. That was instituted in the days of the later Amoraim. So the Gemara has in Baba Basra, the Gemara has a lotion in the days of the early Amoraim. The Gemara has a lotion. Otto called the Megarish, but they didn't Megarish. Everybody divorces his wife, goes to the Rabbanim to have the divorce done. Today, of course, you do like that. Today's cause we live after the Takanim Mishenei David Kiddushin Lo Yehela Esekimayim. So you need a Masada Raget. But if the Gemara and Baba Basra is talking in the early days. Days of the early Amoraim. So there never was such a Takana de Rabbanim. So that's what the other Pshat in the Gemara. Taisus there in Ksubas Pehei, and Taisus in Gittin, as well as Taisus in Baba Kam Dafai and Amalal. In a few places they have the two Pshat. The Gemara is in Ksubas Da Pehei. Valesa means Valesa, the whole Psak is wrong. We never worry about Merci Keshikra. It means Valesa. Later the kusha, the kasha that he asked is not a kasha because sometimes you do concern, sometimes you are concerned the ma'asik and shikra, sometimes not. When yes and when no, it was a private shtar. I mean, it's a shtar hashoah is a private shtar. You don't have to have a hashoah done under the auspices of a bezin. A tanoim is a private thing. The mechutanim meet each other and they write a tanoim and they agree when they're going to have the chuppah. And they write, in case the chosen or the kal, someone backs out, they're going to pay a penalty to the other side for embarrassing them. So this is a private thing, you don't need rabbanim for that. But the ksuba, that's part of the chuppah v'kiddushin. You're not allowed to live with your wife without a ksuba. So it's as if the filling out of the ksuba should be done, just like the city kiddushin has to be done by the rabbis. So the filling out of the ksuba has to be done under the auspices of the rabbanim. So if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezem, like a ksuba, and Exuba this man is on the first line. That's the minig. That's what the Nachla Shiva write. The minig was, if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezem, let's say there's a din Torah and bezem writes a psak. So the minig was that you write the date, the first line in the shtar. But if it's a private shtar halvoah that I borrowed money from you, you write the date in the last line. So at Tanoim, you always write the date in the last line. That's a private shtar. But Exuba, you write this man on the first line, on the open Exuba get. You act as man on the first line. Why? Because the ksuba neget is supposed to be done based on the takon of the later Amoraim. That's supposed to be written under the auspices of the Rabbanim. So you treat that like a kiyum hashtar, like a shtar ma'aseh bezem. Shtar ma'aseh bezem, there is a din ha'merchzik ha'shikra. Yeah. So true, there is one to be machmer for merchzik ha'shikra by the ksuba, by the tanoim for sure not. Tanoim is a private thing. So some are machmer by tanoim also. You leave out the word v'kanin, you feel like, so that's mamash a mistake. That's for sure is a mistake. But even to leave it out by ksuba is also a mistake. True, a ksuba is a shtar ma'aseh bezem. But the shach says we do that all the time. When the rabbanim sign a ptur after the husband gave the get, they sign a ptur, they give it to the woman that she's allowed. Give it to each one, the husband and the wife. Each one is allowed to remarry. The ptur was written before the sefer finished writing the get. And the Torah says, we supervised the way the get was given properly. It wasn't given yet. So the Shach writes, that was never a problem. What the Gemara says is that Mechzika Shikra means if the Dayanim signed it before it happened. That's Mechzika Shikra. Why isn't it Shekra Mamish? Because Kozman, you don't give the Shtar over to the Balashtar. It doesn't give the Haggadah Seders yet. So it's not Eda Sheker. It's only Mechzika Shikra. So even if you offer Mechzika Shikra, it's only a problem if you signed the ksuba before. And by the Tanoim b'chlal, Tanoim is a private shtar ma'is. It's not a ma'is bezin at all. So if the people make such a fuss about this, you have to leave out the word v'kanin. The whole thing is a big mistake. You have to leave it out. And it causes more kilkel than a tikkun, because a lot of times the Adam sign and they didn't read it and they don't realize that there's a word missing. Then the rabbis never read it until after it's signed already. Then under the chuppah, they read it and they realize that they're missing a word. So what do you do now? The Edom signed it. That's it. The Edom will sign on the bottom of a blank piece of paper. And after they sign, then they'll fill in a whole bunch of lines above what they signed. They'll sign, this is to ascertain that Reuben owes Shimon $100,000 because he lent them out of wine cash today and is due another 10 years. But they signed before they wrote anything on top. Is that acceptable? So the Nesivus writes that that's okay. If they left out a word, or they left out a line, or left out the whole document, they signed on the bottom two lines, and then they write the shtar later. As long as they write it before they gave over the shtar to the Bala shtar, it's okay. And others disagree. It's not so posh. Let's say over here, they read the ksub under the chuppah before the chassan gives it to the caliph. So according to the Nesivus, Achashim Ishbad, you can fill in the word b'kanina after they sign, because you didn't give it over yet to the caliph. But if you already gave it to the caliph, then it's farfal. Then it's too late. Even then, it seems to be, you can't fill in missing word later. The whole thing is a mistake. Anyway, so that's what Tosfos writes over here. The whole reason the Gemara in Bava Kamma starts off the Nahar Doi, the Chachmini Nahar Do, said you can never write a Harshoa a Metaltalim that is stolen. Because Metaltalim that is stolen is Shalom Beinu B'Shusa, so you can't be Makna. They'll be passing like Rabbi Yechanan. Whatever Shalom Ben and Meshusai, you're not a full Bible, so you can't be Makna, so you can't make a Harsha. That's what Harsha is all about. You give over ownership of the item to the other person. So if you hold like Rabbi Yechanan, you can't. So that we don't accept, that we don't pass on like that, even though we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, because they made a takan of the Rabbanim, the fellow should be able to collect his money. So with the Rabbanim, we say, we make believers if he can be Makna. Because the whole Harsha is on the level of the Raisa, it doesn't exist. Vis-a-vis the Nignav, he's a Bailim on a bicycle. Vis-a-vis the Ganav, the Mursha is a Bailim on the bicycle. And vis-a-vis the Nignav, he's only a Shliach. What do you mean vis-a-vis one, vis-a-vis the other? So the whole thing is, it's like an androgynous. It's half this, half that. So that's what the Raivit says, the whole thing is a Takhon of the Rabban. So part of the Takana the Rabbanim was that even though it's stolen, even though it's Ein B'Shusai, we make believers if he can be Makna. But if it's Metaltalim de Kafrei, that was the second version of the Ardoi. Metaltalim de Kafrei, then it's Mexican Shikra, so he can't write such a star. So the Rabbi Natan says, but since we pass in Exilus da Pe'e, the Mexican Shikra loy chashinon, at least for sure, on a private star. So the star show is a private star, it's not a star, my son doesn't. So then you don't have to worry about Mechzik Ishvik. So that's how Rabbi Natan defends the common practice. Okay, that is the Gemara. So the Gemara said again over here, this funny case. Two couples, each wife was expecting the first child. Each one had a baby boy, but we don't know which baby belongs to which couple. We don't, today you can tell by the blood type, you can tell by the DNA. In the days of the Tanan, they had no way to know. So they don't know which baby belongs to which couple. So the both fathers are chayv and pidyon habet. Each one had a car. So if they did this silly chachma, that they both gave the money to the father before the Yom Lamed Aleph. And then before the Yom Lamed Aleph comes, one of the two babies dies. So now, you can't taina, give me back the money from the kain. Because now the kain is muksuk. So you can tell each father, ha-moitza machaber olav harayah. And I'm going to have to give it. Father is a Mursha. He goes to the Kohen. If they both gave the five slime to you, then to the same Kohen. So he goes to the Kohen and he says, either you owe me five slime or you owe the other five slime, the other father five slime. You took to your abandoned money from both of us. And one of us is not mechuyev, and we ourselves, we don't know who is mechuyev, who is not mechuyev. So I'm coming either to collect the money on behalf of the other one. I want you to give me the five slime, and he shows the shtar hasha. So then he will be able to get the five slime from the kohen and get it back. That's if they both, the both, both fathers gave the pinyan ben money to the same kohen before the yom lamed aleph. So if he comes with the hasha, he can collect. Yeah. Okay. Then the next Mishnah, we already did a little bit. If the baby dies, the couple has a firstborn is a boy, and he dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph. So the din is Afa Pishan Alsan Lekayin. Even though the father already gave the money, it's not a chachma. If you give the money before the Yom Lamed Aleph, you can't say the bracha. You can't say bracha before, and then you can't say bracha later because you're not doing the Maisa Mitzvah later. So it's a silly thing to do. So that people do silly things. So even though the father gave the money before, he can ask the kohen to give it back. What if the baby dies l'achalam yom? If the baby survives till the yom lamed aleph, alfa pishalay nasan. Even though the father didn't give the pinyon at then money, now the baby's not alive. You still, once you're in his chayef to give the money on yom lamed aleph, even if the baby dies, you have to give the pinyon at then. So we said over the Tosfos that's quoted in Yerideya, the Tosfos lachas loshim yom. So Tosfos says, the Gemara says on the last five lines in Masechet Stochim, when you go for it to a siyum on Erev Pesach for Tainus Chayrus, so very often the Rabbanim will make a siyum on Pesachim. So the last few lines that they say by the siyum are, when you make a pinyon aben, so the Avi haben says the bracha shekadoshanim, so it's one pinyon aben. Who says shachyanu? Does the father say shachyanu? Because he's doing a mitzvah that doesn't come about so, not so common. So there's an excitement. It's a rare mitzvah. Or should the kohen recite shachyanu because he's getting the money? So the Gemara says, "Hilchas Tavi Abem Varshtein." So Tosfos writes, "The mesupik. What's the din in this case? The baby died after the Yom Lamed Aleph, and the din is the father's mechiv to give to Yaben, even though the baby's not alive. But the father's very saddened over the death of the child. Does it make sense that he should say Shachyanu? You say, since the mitzvah Pinyon HaBen is such a rare mitzvah, it doesn't come about so often, so the father's believed to say Shachyanu, even though he's crying, he has tears in his eyes, he doesn't have a baby, he buried his baby. Or did he say no? Since he said, he doesn't say Shachyanu. So it's a suffix. So the other day, they quote the suffix. So Suffix Brachas Lachel, under such circumstances, you don't say Shachyanu. Yeah. So here, the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. When do you do pinyon aben? On the Yom Lamed Aleph or the Yom Lamed? If you do it with Ben Chodesh Tifta, you do the pinyon aben after a month is over. So there's in the Jewish calendar, there's a month of 29 days. After the month is over, is on the 30th day. And sometimes you have a month of 30 days, so the after the month is over, the Ben Chodesh Tifta, month is over after the 30th day is up, on the 31st day. So when do you do Pinyon HaBen? So Rabbi Kiva says, if the baby dies on the Yom Lamed Aleph, that's a Sfeika Dedina. The baby dies on Yom Lamed Aleph, is a Sfeika Dedina. Where is it in the Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva, im Nasan, if the father gave the money, Toch Lamed Yom, Lo Yito. And the baby dies on the Yom Lamed, it's after Chavtes Yom, he has no right to take the money back from the kohen. But if he didn't give the money yet, and the baby died on the Yom Lamed, so then the father is Mukhsa. So then Amritzmach Me'olavrai, the father doesn't have to give to Yom. And so Rabbi Kiva holds that it's a Sveika Adina. We know which months have 29 days, which months have 30 days. But Pinyon HaBen, the baby can be born any day, any month. And you can say by some babies, the baby was born on the 15th of the month, so when it comes next month, the 15th, then the month is over. So the Tanaim say, you're not going to say, sometimes it's going to be on Yom Lamed Aleph, sometimes on Yom Lamed. It's going to be the same number day of the month. So that the Tanaim don't want to say like that. So Rabbi Kiva holds that it's a Sfeika Dedina all the time, whether Yom Lamed Aleph, when do you do Pinyon HaBen? The Yom Lamed or the Yom Lamed Aleph? We don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva. We pass on like the other Tanoim, that the Yom Lamed is Kilafonov. So if the baby dies, the Chiyav only sets in on the Yom Lamed Aleph, doesn't begin before. Right? The Gemara says it's a Machlokes. How do you read the Pesukim? What kind of a din is this, that if the baby dies before the 30 days are up, you're not mechiv to do Pinyon HaBen? So there's a Tosfos here, Meiz Beno B'Tel Shloshim Yom, the little Tosfos, Meiz Beno B'Tel Shloshim Yom, the baby died, the father did a shtus, he gave the money to the kohen before the Yom Lamed Aleph, and then the baby died, before the Yom Chavtes, and Yom Lamed, whatever. So then he gets the money back. So Rashi says, why is there no obligation to give Pinyan HaBen if the baby dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph? Because it's a Gloy Milsom Afer, the baby was an Eifel. Eifel means, even though the baby was alive and crying and cooing and nursing and everything, but if he dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph, I say Gloy Milsom Afer, the baby was never alive in the first place. And you don't observe Avelus. One only observes Avelus on the seven relatives. The spouse or the children or the parents or the siblings, the only observe Avelus if the person was once alive and then he died. But if the baby that was alive for a couple of weeks and then he dies before the Yom Laman Aleph, then we say he was never alive in the first place. It was always an Eifel. You only observe Avelus if the person was once alive and then he died. So Rashi says, if the baby dies before Yom Lamed Aleph, you don't do Pinyan HaBen, it's a glory Muslim affair. It was always, all along was an Eifel. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Bechina Pirishkei, what did he have to say that for? I feel like him, that didn't. That's a Gemara in different Masechtos. Tosfos, the big Tosfos talks about it. Meis b'yom shlosha. Tosfos has a long arichas. There's a din in the Gemara. You can't shecht the behemoth before the eighth day. That's a din in Korbanos. It says, Shorokas reis ki yivolig, vayoshiv sham and tachasimo, machmini vahol yivot to the Korbanish Hashem. It's a din by Korbanos. If you makrav a korban before the eighth day, it's possible because mechusas man. It's mechusas man. You had to wait till the eighth day. There's another kind of mechusas man. Let's say you're not allowed to shecht those of the Yosbeno. So I have a mother and a vlad, and also has, no, I'm not allowed to shecht them both on the same day. So I shecht one of them today. That's muta. Today's not Shabbos. You're allowed to shecht. There's not always some halacha. And then I want to shecht the second one on the same day because it's a korban. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to shecht it today because of those husband. And if you shecht it, not only will you have violated the Isra of us shechting also has, but no, the korban will be possible because it's mechus hazman. You learn off in the pasuk, just like it says, "Shivas Yavaniyim Matachasin Mayam Hashmini V'Hali Rots." So the carbon is Hashem. If you bring the carbon before the eighth day, it's possible. So too, if you bring the carbon when you're not supposed to, you have to wait till tomorrow because those Reis Menal. That's also called Mechus Tzman. It will be a possible the carbon. That's a din of Mechus Tzman. So the where did they? So then this din of eighth day, the original din, only applies to Karbanos. But in Yeridaya, there's a din, it's a Gemara Masechah Shabbat, there's a din, that you're not allowed to shecht the behem haskulin before the eighth day. Why? You say the behem is a suffix nefel. If it didn't live till the eighth day, maybe it's a suffix nefel. And the same thing, you can't do Pinyan HaBen before the Yom Lamed Aleph. So we say in general, let's say it's not a Bchor, it's a baby girl. So we say, Kol Shalashal Shalashim Yom Ba'odam, it's a Safik Nefel. And if the baby will die before the Yom Lamed Aleph, it'll be a Safik. Baby was never alive in the first place. And therefore you don't observe Avelus. It'll be relevant for other dinim as well. Let's say a couple is married and the husband dies and he leaves no children. No children from this wife, no children from a previous wife, no children from a girlfriend. Sometimes they have children from a girlfriend. So, the Maritz Chayis in the back of the Gemara Yavam quotes an incident that once a man died, leaving no children, and the surviving brother wanted to perform Yibum. So the Chachamim, the Rabbanim said, let him to do Yibum. Because we follow Abba Shol, and he came up with a din de Rabbanan. Whenever you do Yibum, you're really in violation of Eshesach. Your sister-in-law, your brother's wife, is one of the Arayas, it's an Issacharis. So if it's Mamokha Mitzvah Yibum, then it's Mutter. If Shalom Mamokha Mitzvah Yibum, then it's an Issacharis. So Abba Shol came up with a Chiddush, it's only Mutter to marry Eshesach if he's doing a L'shem Mitzvah. But if he wouldn't have agreed to marry her, She happens to be wealthier. She happens to be very good looking. She happens to be from a very milchizdik family. That's the motivation that he has to marry her. But otherwise, he wouldn't be doing it l'shem mitzvah. Then we follow Abishol. Ashkenazim follow Abishol. The Sfaradim feel. The Gemara says in different generations, the consensus shifted back and forth. Originally, Abishol was in the minority. And then somehow the consensus was like Abishol. And then it went back and forth, back and forth. So the question was, the last time that they took a poll, which opinion prevailed? So the Ashkenazim hold that we pasken at the end of the day like Abishol, that we don't permit people to do Yibum, because we don't trust people that they're doing the Yibum, the Shem Mitzvah. We're afraid he's doing the Shem Noi, or the Shem Mammon, or the Shem Yichas, but just for the Mitzvah alone he's not. And the Sfaradim never accepted that Psak. Sfaradim hold that the Psak is against Abishol. He was outlawed and shut. So you are permitted to do Yibum. When they established Medina Sison, they made the Rabbanut. There was Rabbanut before also, but it was more important because you have to, the country had to be run by the Rabbanut, Issa Beheta. So the Ashkenazi Rabbanim got all the Sfaradish Rabbanim to sign an agreement, the Hesgame, that they're going to have the same Psak, that they're not going to allow anyone to do Yibum. Otherwise, it's going to be Hefker. The Ashkenazim will not allow Yibum, the Sfaradim will allow Yibum. What are you going to do if it's a mixed marriage? One of the spouses is a Sfaradi, one is an Ashkenazi. Would you allow Yibum? So they got everybody to agree they're not going to have any Yibum. And then Chacham Avadia lived in Egypt at that time, I think. So he wrote a whole tshuva that he printed later on in his collection of tshuvas, that the Sfaradi Rabbanim had no right to make such a hesked. It's against Halacha. Sfaradi Psak is that they were allowed to do Yibum, and it's preferable. Mitzvah Yibum Kadem is Mitzvah Chalitza. Okay, so that's an ongoing issue, whether we allow Yibum, as Mara said. So the Maratz Chais writes up this incident, that once a fellow died, and the surviving brother wanted to do Yibum, and the Rabbanim didn't allow him to, because Ashkenazim, the Maratz Chais lived in Galitzia, so by Ashkenazim, we don't allow Yibum, we machma like Abishol. So the wise guy, the brother-in-law, the Yavam, was suing the rabbis for religious persecution. They're not allowing him, they're not letting him fulfill his biblical mitzvah. And he showed the judge in court, the Pasuk in the Torah, that he has to marry the sister-in-law. So the judge looked at the rabbi and said, the Baal Bos is right, that's what it says in your Bible. So the rabbi said to the judge, you personally knew the man who died, right? He was a womanizer. He used to run around with other women all the time. So we are afraid that maybe he had children that we're not aware of. Maybe he had children from one of his many girlfriends. Had a lot of girlfriends. So unfortunately, so the judge says, yes, he can conceive. He can see that that may be true because he knew the man who died. And so he says, that's a good explanation. So Maratz Chais writes, unfortunately, it's a mitzvah of our sin. We should let the public know that there is such a din. That the Mishnah in Yavam says, "Mishayish l'adim b'kol makom, but the restishtem and ayibam lechalitza." If he has children, even if he had children from Maneishes Ish, and the children are mamzerim, but still they're his children, so there's no din of yibam lechalitza. If he has children from a girlfriend, from a single, unless he has children from a nochris, if he has children from a nochris, then there's no kurva between the nochri children. The children are goyim because the mother's a goyim, and the father's a Jew, so there's no kurva there. Unless he has a child from a Shivcha Knainis or from a Nachriz, then the Vlad is not Mishachaz Eftem. Unfortunately, that reason applies sometimes to Bizman Azad, that the one who died was not so careful, and we're afraid that maybe he had children. So here the Tosis points out these two dinim, that you're not allowed to shech behem aschulim before the eighth day, maybe it's an Eifel. And you're not allowed, and let's say that where they get this din, not allowed to shech, because the pasuk talks in not allowed to shech behemes kachim. Behemes kachim, you're not allowed to shech before the eighth day, even if the farmer knows exactly when the pregnancy began. A lot of times now they do artificial insemination by behemoths because they want the vlodis to be very healthy. So they know exactly when the pregnancy began, and they know exactly if it's a behemoth daka, so the pregnancy is a 5-month pregnancy, behemoth gasa. and the 9-month pregnancy. So let's say they know that it's kol lo chadoshev. They know that it's a full-term pregnancy. So for the purpose of the dinim, you're not allowed to shech the carbon till the 8th day. It doesn't matter whether it's full-term pregnancy or not. You have to wait till the 8th day. But this din that we developed based on that, that any behemoth is considered a safek nefel, if it didn't yet reach the 8th day, that's only if it's any adua, shekola lo chadoshev. You don't know whether it had a full-term pregnancy or not. So if you wait till the 8th day and the animal is still alive, then you know that it's yotze mechalal safek nefel. If it dies before the 8th day, then if you shecht it before the 8th day, it's a safek nefel and you can't eat the basar. Maybe it was never alive. You can only eat shechita if you did a shechita on a live animal that was born alive, and then the shechita is going to kill it. But maybe the animal in the first place was never considered alive. See, if you have an animal that's pregnant, you don't know when the pregnancy began. So then, with shechting chulin, if you wait till the 8th day, so that establishes that it's not a nefel. But let's say you know when the pregnancy began, and you know that it is kol lo chadoshev. It's a full-term pregnancy, then you don't have to wait 8 days. For bringing in as a carbon, that's a gzeres hakosa. You have to wait 8 days, even if you know bevada shekalo chadosha. That's a gzeres hakosa. So the same thing person says by pidyon aden. If a baby doesn't survive till the 30th day, it is a safek nefel. What Rashi said is correct. And therefore you wouldn't sit shiva. Because maybe it's a nefel. And safek abelis yigola kula. And what else? Let's say a couple is married, the husband dies, he leaves no children, his wife is pregnant. Then after the husband dies, she gives birth to a baby. The baby dies 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, before Yom Lamed Aleph. So we say, Kol Shalosho Shalosham Yom Ba'odom, if the baby didn't, by Pidyon HaBen Tzachok, even if the woman is post-mature, she was carrying the pregnancy for 10 months. When the baby is born, you still have to wait 30 days to do pinyin aden. Even though it's bevada yadush, you call all the chadoshim. It's post-mature, you know, that's a gzeres hakosa. The mitzvah only begins on Yom Lamed Aleph. But the din that we established based on that, that any baby that's born and you don't know whether it's kol lo chadoshim or not, you have to wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. But if you know it's kol lo chadoshim, then you don't have to wait. So that would be relevant for chalitza. Let's say the husband dies, he has no other children for any other marriage. His wife is pregnant, she gives birth to a baby, and the baby dies within 30 days after it's born. So you have to be concerned, maybe it was not a full-term pregnancy, unless you know for sure it was a full-term pregnancy, then you don't have to wait 30 days. But if you don't know one way or the other that it's a full-term pregnancy, maybe it was not a full-term pregnancy, and because the baby died before 30 days, it's a nefel, so it was never alive in the first place. That's called the bein einlo. Even though there was a baby, and the baby seemed to have been alive for 28 and a half days, then it died before the 30th day. We say it was never called the bar kayom in the first place. It was considered as if it was born dead, as if it was still born. Even though it wasn't still born, it was born alive, and we were nursing it and taking care, but it died. So that's what Tosfos says. But Rashi writes, if the baby dies within 30 days, you don't have to do pinyon aden, because it's a gloy milsim afrei, it's a nefel. Even if it's bada and not a nefel, it's bada biyadur shekol lo chadoshev, then you don't have to wait 30 days to be mevarei that it's not a nefel. But for pinyon aden, that's the halacha, just like the 8 days by the behemah, for the purpose of korban. You always have to wait till the 8th day. That's a chok. So that by pinyon aden also, you have to wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. But we derive from the parsha of 8 days that any animal that you don't know if it's kol lo chadoshev, so you have to wait till the 8th day before you shecht it even for chulin. And any baby, you don't know whether the baby is of lad bar kayama unless it survives till the 31st day. So that we'll have to discuss that. Tosfos will be there next week. Tosfos quotes an important gemara there in Yevamos. Let's say, the Yavama, they're quoting him on. The husband died, he leaves no children, the wife is pregnant. Then the wife gives birth to a baby, and the baby dies within 30 days. So the wife needs chalitza min haTorah, because he say it's a nefel, it's a vadei nefel. Because that's a Tosfos quotes a Gemara. chumra midrabbanan. That's not only a chumra midrabbanan. That if the baby dies within 30 days after it's born, you say that it's an eifel, you consider as if he was never alive in the first place. So therefore she needs chalitza. But mikra then she really doesn't need the chalitza. So the mina afkamina, so Tosfos quotes the Gemara. What if the baby died after 25 days? The yevama, the husband died, and his wife is pregnant. She gives birth to the baby dies after 25 days. So we say she's supposed to have chalitza. She didn't ask any questions. Baby died, so she goes and she marries a kohen. An Amana is permitted to marry a kohen. Amana can't marry a kohen gadol. A grusha can't marry a kohen hedya. But if the woman is an Amana, she can marry a plain kohen hedya. So she goes and she marries a kohen. And they say, wait a minute, but she needs chalitza mid the rabban. So if we're going to do chalitza, then the kohen can't live with her. Kohen is not allowed to live with the chalitza, with the chalutza mid the rabban. Chalutza is minatar, she's materis with kohen mid the rabban. Just like a grusha is asura minatar, so chalutza is asura mid the rabban. So the Gemara says, if the girl married a kohen thinking that she's allowed to marry a kohen, then we're going to say she has to do chalitza because the baby died within 30 days. We're going to ruin her marriage. So then when Mekel, we say, you don't have to do chalitza because the whole need for the chalitza is only midi rabbanan. That whole din, that koshlo shosh loshem yom ba'odim is a nefel, that whole din is only a chumra midi rabbanan. If it's a chumra midi rabbanan, so how come you don't observe avelus? That's a kula. A woman has a baby, and the baby lives 25 days, and the baby dies before the 30th day. So you say the baby has the status of a Sufik Nefo, and since it's a Sufik Nefo, it's a Sufik Avelis Lekula. You don't have to observe Avelis. But the whole thing is the baby dies within 30 days, it's Sufik Nefo. That's a Chumra Midrabbanan. And if she married a Kohen, then you don't require of her she should do Chalitza. Leave out an Ikra then. You assume the baby was a Bar Kayama. Because Roy Vlodis is a full-term pregnancy. So there's a long Maganishna at the beginning of Hilchos Yibam v'Chalitza. He explains this. So believe that next week we'll have to start. That's an important topic. We'll have to start from this topic. And what's the definition of Kol Al Chadosha? In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah changed the Psak HaMekubal for centuries. What's the definition of Kol Al Chadosha? How does it apply, this man said? Okay, we should all be healthy. We'll gather together next week. We'll continue on the topic.
Rabbi, so what's the correct way to do it? To write a kanina and then make the kinyan and then sign?
If you want to, you can fill out the kanina before you make the kabbalah skin. It's not a problem. I always, other rabbanim also recommend you should fill it out before they sign, because more often than not, they're going to forget. And they're going to sign before they fill in the missing word. So it's a good idea that the rabbanim should fill it out right away.
Also, we said if a woman forgets to ben shlicht and the chandelier is on, so yeah. Would she have to add another candle the next week?
Mikra, then she really doesn't have to. The adding the candle was only a penalty because the whole family was sitting in the dark. But Mikra, then in that case, you don't have to. But the minig is, over the last couple years, how long is it that we have electric lights? 100 years, 150 years or so. So the minhag developed that even if they're not sitting in the dark, the whole house is lit up. You just forgot to say the bracha, basically. They forgot to say the bracha. So the minhag is that you do, there's a penalty there too. But based on the old minhag, the B'Shmir Shabbos Gochosa quotes this, there shouldn't have been a penalty. Penalty is only that the woman was pesheya and they were eating in the dark. So then she deserves a penalty. Yep.
Shkarach.
Okay. Shirobia.
Shkarach.
Rebbe, what's the reason to differentiate between Beis Din and a regular head goat in terms of Mechzik Meshaker?
Mechzik Yishikra. Beis Din should be above reproach. Beis Din shouldn't issue a document that looks fishy. But private people, business is business. Even if it looks fishy, so what? As long as, strictly speaking, if they signed it before, but they didn't give it over to the one for whom it was intended, the Haggadah Seder doesn't begin until you give it over. So, Kalsman, you didn't give it over. There's no shikra. It's Mechzik is shikra. There's no shikra. Uh-huh. But just to write what happened before you sign it, that's not even Mechzikah Shikra, that's a Gosh. To sign it before it happened, that's Mechzikah Shikra. But to write it without signing it, it's not even Mechzikah Shikra. That's what the Shach says. We can do it all the time.
Okay, thank you, Abby. Have a good night.
Okay, good night.